So let's look at these scriptures, if you would, please, in Proverbs chapter number 22. And we're going to, I think we'll learn something. Look down, if you will, please, in verse number 9. Verse number 9. And the Bible says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth." Notice what a bountiful eye does. It's an eye that gives. You say, that's kind of strange. It's seeing a need and causing the person to give. In the New Testament, Jesus actually mentioned an evil eye. You say, well, how can someone have an evil eye? I mean, we used to have a member. He had one blue eye, one brown eye. I wouldn't call that an evil eye. He just had different eyes. You know, he had different eyes. But what is an evil eye? It's when someone sees a need and does nothing about it. Kind of like that Good Samaritan story. You remember the guy's beat up? He's half dead, and the priest comes by, and the Levite comes by. They look, but they never meet a need. But when the Samaritan came by, he looked, and he filled the need. That's the bountiful eye. That's the eye that he's talking about here. So let's keep going. And then let's look in chapter 23 of Proverbs. So Solomon is talking about giving. He's teaching his son. And he's not talking about tithing here. He's not talking about offerings or missions. So it has nothing to do with the temple or the church. He's talking about having the heart and being a giving person. You've often maybe heard someone make a statement about somebody. Boy, they're a real giver. Doesn't mean they have to be rich or have a lot of money, but some people, that's how they are. They're a giver. And then other people have this said about them. Boy, they're a taker. Man, you just hate to see them coming. Anytime I get a text or a phone call from them, it's every 6 to 8 months, I know it's always this. How many of you know someone like that? And I don't say their name or point. You know what I'm talking about? It just seems like you never hear from them unless it's to take. They never give. And there's some people like that in society. All they ever do is take. They never give back. And so God wants us to be givers. So he says, a bountiful eye shall be blessed. That's what God says. Then look down in 23, please, in verse 6. He says, eat not thou the bread of him that hath an, there it is, evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now what's he saying here? He's saying sometimes someone, and it doesn't always have to be a meal, it may be someone's treating you to a meal, but it's not really a free meal. Because it's going to cost you something. They weren't just wanting to feed you. I've gotten a couple of advertisements this year in the mail. Free meal at Brazilian Steakhouse. All you must do is sit through a 2-hour sales presentation for the coming condos or whatever it was. So it's, you know, it's not just a free meal. There's a hook. And even though you can say no, you almost feel like a jerk if you're saying no all the way to the car. And another thing, and we'll reduce it, and we'll give you the down payment. And they're all over it. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, an evil eye has an ulterior motive. When they're giving, their strings attached. We had a family in our church years ago. The guy was on staff in Louisiana, a school teacher, just went to heaven. And his in-laws helped him buy a house. And so, you know, they helped with the down payment, and you know, they didn't have the down payment. But they would drop in about every 6 months unannounced to see how their house was doing. I said, Bill, I thought it was y'all's house. He said, I thought it was too. There were some strings attached. And so that's what he's talking about here, that that evil eye is not really a free meal. So just several thoughts, and let's look back just at one other verse, please. In Psalm, just back one book, Psalm 41, and the Bible study, I don't think it'll be long tonight, but Psalm 41, and notice what he says here. Here's the psalmist. So Solomon is telling his son, have a bountiful eye, be a giver, be careful of people that have an evil eye, that don't see needs, and whatever they do, they're trying to take something from you. And then now Solomon's dad had the same heart. Psalm 41:1. Blessed is he, and the word blessed means happy. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And so that's a blessing for those that are giving or meeting a need that they see. You say, well, Pastor, what is poor? Let's define that. When I was a kid, I would have thought maybe that's anyone begging. Or I would have thought maybe that's someone who didn't own a bicycle. Or maybe it's someone who had holes in the knees of their blue jeans. Now, if you don't have holes in your blue jeans, you're poor. I remember going to a store and I said, what is this? For the first time when all this was coming out. And they said, oh, that pair of jeans is $200. I said, it's got holes all in it. And they said, it's not just normal holes. That pair of pants was shot with a machine gun. They would lay the pants down, shoot them full of machine gun holes, and that upped the value. I'm thinking, we are nuts, just nuts. And so he says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. He's saying, when we give consideration to anyone that has less than us. And sometimes they will not be poor their whole life. They're going through a season, and they'll come out of that. I love what the little boy said. He lived in a cold climate, and their window was broken, and at night the snow would blow in into his bedroom. His mother covered him up with cardboard to keep him warm. He looked at his mom and said, Mama, what do the poor people do that don't have cardboard to cover themselves up? You know, some poor people don't even know they're poor. If you've been to third world countries and visited them, and the dirt in their, no electricity, no running water, and just a dirt floor in their house, and it just, and they're happy. They're happy. They don't have cable. They don't have electricity. They don't have a TV, many of them, but they're happy people. So what about this thing of giving? What about it? In the notes here, just quickly, to those who do not know the Lord, the excitement of Christmas in their mind is getting their mind off of their self and onto others. And that's really the Christmas spirit that's nationwide. Even unsaved people, for a few moments, they're getting their eyes off of them and their problems, and they're looking at the poor. Maybe they're looking at the neighbor. Maybe they're thinking about people they want to buy a gift for. But at least momentarily, their mind is off of them. Now, you remember as a child, the buildup of Christmas. If you're a kid here now, nothing's wrong with that. You know, it's which tree are we going to get? Some of the school kids the other day had a whole field trip. They had to locate the perfect tree to murder. Poor little tree, all it did was stand there, and man, it came down. But they had to pick the perfect one, and this is the one. Let's bring it in. Let's decorate. You know, we're all careful. We're decorate the house, and then the Christmas list. What are we going to eat? What are we going to buy? What gifts are we going to send? And Christmas cards, and let's send about. You know, it's all this build up, and then about the day after Christmas, take that tree down. I'm tired of looking at it. Maybe toss it out to the street. Sometimes it's still got tinsel and some of the ornaments on it. And I'm tired of those Christmas cards. Let's pull them down. And if you've ever been like me, especially as a kid, when Christmas was over, I was depressed. It was that buildup and buildup and buildup. And it had to be such a perfect day, and it never was. And then it was over. It was over. And I remember tears in my eyes, and because I planned on it all year. Now I had to wait 364 more days. You say, Pastor, you need counseling. probably I do. Now here's a statement in your notes quickly. We have to hurry. If Christmas is receiving, it is once a year. If Christmas is giving, you can have Christmas anytime you decide. You can have Christmas 365 days out of the year if Christmas is giving. A little child said, I wish Christmas was every day. It can be. And you can be Santa any day you like. I remember I was a bus worker when I was in 10th grade in Louisiana. I'd had a meal at the pastor's house. We had a famous evangelist. He is real famous in the Deep South. His name was J. Harold Smith. He preached a famous sermon called God's Three Deadlines. Preached it everywhere. 300,000 people saved under that one sermon. He had a radio broadcast there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. White-haired man. I met him when he was in his 70s. He spoke at our church for a week. And he was the guest eating at the pastor's house. I got invited. Back then, gasoline was 30 cents a gallon. Cigarettes, well, I don't know how much they were, but 30 cents a gallon was the gas. I remember eating a meal, and the pastor bragged on me. And, you know, he's one of our bus workers, and Mike's out soul winning. I started to leave the house, and that old man, J. Harold Smith, shook my hand. Proud of you, son. And I felt something in my hand. It was $3 $1 bills. I'll never forget that. That was a full tank of gas in my car. That was 10 gallons of gas. That was over 50 years ago. I still remember that man slipping $3 into my hand. No one had ever done that. I was in Bible college, and somehow my parents forgot to save up for college. Now, how many of you have had parents like that at some time? They forgot to save up for my college. Somehow they thought I was supposed to pay for it. And I found a lot of times when a kid pays their own way to school, they make better grades, they party less, they flunk less classes. A lot of time it's good. And so I'm working a job, and I'm trying to be a bus worker, and paying for this, paying for that, and gasoline, and giveaways, and studying, and it was just real tight my last year of college. Every dime I made, I would tithe, and then almost my whole check would go right to my school bill. It was just tight. One day I got a letter in the post office. I never got mail. But it was addressed to, you know, just me, and just kind of a shaky handwriting. Opened it up. It was a letter from my grandpa, Colbert Corkin. Ain't that a name? Colbert. C-O-L-B-E-R-T. He's the one when my grandmother died. I mean, she was barely buried. And he started getting all these pies delivered at his house from these widow ladies. One of them was Emma Dell. She had a crush on Colbert in second grade. Now Colbert is 75, and she's dropping by pies. Well, he flipped over Emma Dale, and it wasn't long before they were engaged, or he proposed. And she said, Colbert, you don't have any teeth. If you get some teeth, I'll marry you. I'm thinking, what in the world? He went and got sized up for dentures. Then all the kids revolted. You never got teeth for mama. You never. I said, let the man have some teeth. He got teeth and married Emma Dale. He was getting up in his 80s, and he just wrote me a little letter. I'm just real proud of you and thought I'd send you something to help you in college. He sent me $1,000. At that time, that almost paid my whole semester. God put that on his heart because I needed that. The only time I ever got a letter from him, only time I ever got money from him, never asked for anything. God did that. But I'm glad he was a giver. I'll never forget the blessing it was. So we're talking about, what is the spirit of giving? You can be Santa all year long. Quickly here, years ago, and we've not done it in years, but when our kids were young, Christmas Eve each year, I would put on a Santa outfit. I looked like a real sad Santa, short and not puffy. I put on the beard, had that southern drawl. No one thought I was really Santa. And then all of our kids had to put on elf hats, you know, the Santa hats, and my wife put on a Santa hat and would jump in the car. And it was always before we'd open any presents, you know, just as soon as it got dark, we'd jump in the car and we'd see any new family that had kids. So if you were brand new that year in the church and had kids, would drive to your house, ho, 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 and knock on the door and the kids. And, you know, hey, that looks like Pastor Santa. And, you know, I didn't look like him, but, you know, we'd give out some candy canes. And that was just kind of what we did. And if someone was dying, if it was their last year, we'd go by there. We started messing with people. We dropped by healthy people's house. It's like, does Pastor know something? We don't know. You're dying. And no, we didn't do that. I remember I was soul winning that week. And I met this lady. And she goes, you know, I need to come to y'all's church. And I gave her a track. Well, we had a Santa visit in that neighborhood. So I just knocked on her door. When she opened the door, I said, ho, ho, ho. And I called her by name. I said, you'll have a great Christmas. And it was like, how does Santa know me? I mean, it was strange. It sounded like Santa stalker or something. I don't know what it was. So what can we do? Just six practical thoughts here. Here we are. Number one, look for the needs that people have. Amen. Look for the needs people have. When you and a need meet, suppose God expects you to meet that need. It may be a hole in their shoe. It may be gas in the tank. It may be a suit for someone in the church that's trying to dress up. It may be a new tire on a car. It may be some groceries. But you'll know that need. It's kind of like, how did I just see this? Sometimes it's God opening our eyes to see the need. There's a need. The Bible says that we are to give to the household of faith even before we give to others. When it's in the power of thy hand to do it. Now, we need to help others that we see needs in, but we need to encourage those that's in the church so it'll multiply and we'll get more mileage out of that. Number next unto that, when I was in college, we attended a very large church. And on Wednesday nights, they did something I've never seen done. The church never kept the Wednesday night offering. They always gave it away. The pastor would get up on Wednesday night. He'd say, now the offering tonight, it's an others offering. It's an others offering. There's a pastor whose house burned down in another state. I don't know what it's going to cost. I'm sure they've got expenses. We want to encourage him. So everything that comes in tonight will go to that burnt house and that dear family. And that was it. I said, others offering. And God always met the needs of that church. And others offering. They didn't keep it all for them. I thought, look at that. What a great lesson for each of us. Number two, look for needs that people have. Just snoop. Look. Number two, meet those needs. Meet those needs. Now take your Bible, just two verses here quickly. Looking over here in Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6. And I know it's easy to say, man, I'm doing good to pay rent right now. What are you talking about? But sometimes there's going to be a time where there's going to be extra in your pocket. Or there's going to be extra in the banking account. And it's going to be like, I don't need all this right now. I still remember when we were trying to pay for that Jose cartoon with a family in the church. And they said, Pastor, I'd like to give $5,000 to help the Jose cartoon get done. I said, $5,000? They said, we refinanced our house and they postponed two payments. And so that's about $5,000. And we just prayed about it. We felt impressed that God would help us, would want us to meet this need. I said, look at that. So that's how the Lord does that. He lets you see a need, and then somehow he reminds you, you know, I've got that. I could do that. But look at the verse here quickly. Luke chapter number 6. And again, this is not talking about tithing. It's not talking about missions. It's not talking about church. He's talking about a lifestyle. Luke 6, verse 38, famous verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Sounds like reaping. Good measure. Pressed down. You ever buy a box of something these days? Maybe like cereal. And then you start shaking it. Then you open it, and it's like half full. It was like half air or something. That's what he's saying. Press down, shaken together, running over. And the rest of that verse says, shall men give unto your bosom? So who does God use to help us reap? Other people. Other people. As we give, God says, you're not going to outgive me. I owe nobody. Giving is not a Las Vegas get-rich scheme. You know, if I give God $1,000, maybe I'll get $10,000 next year. No, it's not like that. It's a lifestyle. But you'll find, as you begin giving, as you see people's needs, it's going to come back. It's just going to come back. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Shall men give unto your bosom? Let's keep going here. Then here's another verse. Notice Paul is in prison when he writes this. And I think this is just about the last verse, but Philippians chapter number 4. We're talking about being a giver, being a giving type person. Philippians chapter 4. When we get this giving, it affects our personality. It affects all of us. Philippians 4, and looking down into verse number 17, here's Paul. Paul is in prison. He's writing about joy, but notice what he says about these people. He says, not that I desire a gift, Philippians 4:17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says, hey, I don't need anything. He said, but you give to me, and I'm going to be using it in the ministry, and you're going to get that on your account one day. Amen. He says, but I have all and abound. Paul says, I have all I need, and I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He said, you sent me some things in prison. Maybe paper, maybe ink, maybe quills, maybe writing instrument, maybe more food, maybe some juice, maybe a warm jacket, maybe shoes. He said, you sent me some things. And to me, they were an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, because of that, here's what Paul says to these people. But my God shall supply all your need. They had just given to Paul. He said, God's going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. So number one, look for needs. Number two, meet those needs. Number three, if you don't have the funds to do so, pray it in. Lord, so-and-so's got a car that's broke down. The mechanic said it's $500 to fix it. I got $20. Lord, don't you have $480? Lord, couldn't you help them? They need their car fixed. I know it's $500. I don't have it. I've looked for it. If you handed it to me, I'll pay for their car to get me. That's what we're talking about. Pray it in. Number four. You'll reap it. Paul put it this way. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Number five. Meet needs that don't require funds. Not every need requires money. So what would some of those needs be? Prayer. And let me encourage you. We put it in my wife's book when she was in the hospital, Known Prayer. Don't just pray for someone, let them know it. Prayed for you today. I called your name out in prayer today. That strengthens. Now pray, but let them know that. Prayer, what else? Encouragement. Encouragement doesn't cost you anything. Hey, you're the man. You're the woman. I'm so proud of you. Hang in there. God's using you. You're a blessing. You know, encouraging words, encouraging texts. Number three, time. Some people just need some time. They just need to hang around you. You know, someone that has failed or feels like a failure or is going through a trial, sometimes they don't need another sermon. Hey, here's your 10 sermons you need to hear. They don't need that. Sometimes they need you to pick them up, get a cup of coffee, and just hang around you. Just hang around you. Be around someone positive that's going to make it as well. Time. Next, training. Sometimes people just need some training. They need some help to live life. What else? Sometimes it's just comfort. The word comfort means alongside of. People don't like to go through things alone. When someone's with them, they can make it. I've just seen something in football I've never seen. I guess I never noticed it. Never noticed it. Maybe you football experts would know this. Let's say a team's got 1 yard to go. 1 yard to go. Quarterback's under center. He's about to get the ball. But then they have two halfbacks. Maybe they have a halfback kind of behind the quarterback, and then they have a fullback back here. Or maybe they just call them backs. And I've seen this lately. The quarterback gets that ball quickly. He hands off to the first halfback, and you know what the guy behind him is doing? He's pushing him. I've never seen that before in the NFL till this year. Maybe they always did it. His job is to just push the guy across the line. I didn't know you could do that. He's just pushing and pushing. That's his job. He doesn't even have the ball. He's the pusher. Sounds like a drug deal or something, but maybe that's what some of us need to do. Some Christians have just got the ball. They'd really like to score the first down, but they don't have the strength to get across the line. Our job is just to push. The encouragement. And then last, we're just talking about giving, being a giver. And again, when I was a teenager, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. If I'd have heard a Bible study like that, I'd say, yeah, sounds good to you. When I was in Bible college, we need to give. Are you kidding? I barely got gas to get to my bus route. I'm eating a bag lunch. Usually I'm giving that to the bus kids. I don't have anything extra. But once you get a little extra, the Lord starts kind of saying, do you know why you have that? There might be someone, and I'm not talking about giving to the lazy. I'm not talking about giving to the person who spent all their money on alcohol or drugs. I'm not saying that. But it'll be some people that'll have a need. And you can meet that need. And by the way, they never forget it. They never forget it. Because it's usually the timing is so important. They'll go to the grave saying, I'll never forgive, and they never forgive. I'll never forget what you gave me or did for me. That's kind of how that goes. And then what's it produce last? It gives you joy. That's the Christmas spirit. That's the Christmas spirit. And we can have it anytime you want to. You can have Christmas in July, Christmas in February. You can have it anytime you decide to have it. Doesn't have to be once a year. Oh, we'll take this. You know, I believe Jesus understood this. He was always given. Always given.